Hi, Pastor Gallagher. Welcome back from the break. Okay, so we're embarking on our study in Matthew 24. Now, to understand Matthew 24 accurately, you must compare it to the parallel text in the other gospel accounts. Now, I'm making a comparison right now between Matthew 24, the first three verses, and Mark 13, the equivalent verses, as written by Mark. Now, in Matthew 24, let me get over there. In Matthew 24, of course, they were in the temple, and notice the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said, this temple is going to be destroyed. There's not one stone that's going to be left upon another. This is a shocking thing. So in verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus a question. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so many modern teachers have come along and they say, well, they actually ask three questions. When shall these things be? That is, when will the temple be destroyed? What will be the sign of thy coming? And they're thinking that means the second coming at the end of time. And the third question is, and when will the end of the world happen? So three different things they're asking. They're wrong. They're not asking three different things. It's the same question. You say, what? Yes, it's the same question. Now, I'm trying to prove that to you. But what I want to show you is that they never asked Jesus, when will planet Earth end? That's not in Matthew 24. It's not in Mark or Luke or John or anywhere. That's not part of the Olivet Discourse. You say, well, yes, it is. You just read it in Matthew 24:3. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, I've already told you, look up the Greek word for world there. It's not cosmos. They're not asking about the end of planet Earth. It's aeon, which means age. The context must tell you what age is being referred to. It's the Jewish age, the age of the old covenantal system where they need a temple of God, where they need a priesthood, where they need animal sacrifices. It's all coming to an end. The temple's going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The old covenant is going to be terminated. And this happens when Christ comes to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus just finished saying, not one stone is going to be left upon the other. And so the disciples ask him, when shall these things be? Matthew 24, when shall these things be? That is the termination of the temple. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now, why would they ask that? Because they understood it will be the return of Christ that ushers in the messianic kingdom, which of necessity will displace the old covenant kingdom of Israel for that perfect and better kingdom of Messiah. So you can't separate the two. I mean, with the coming of Messiah and his kingdom, you have the termination of the old covenant system. You don't need a temple in Jerusalem anymore. So again, Matthew 24:3. Tell us, when shall these things be, they ask him, when the temple will be destroyed? And what shall be the sign of thy coming to destroy the temple? And the end of the age, the Jewish age, that needs all these things. When Christ comes, it's the end of the Jewish age. He's destroying the temple. Jerusalem's going to be wiped out, and he's going to start afresh, a whole brand new world order. It's the new world order of Messiah Jesus. The old system is going. And the eternal and better and most wonderful system of Messiah will be inaugurated. That happened 2,000 years ago. Now, to prove my point, in Matthew 24, they ask about signs of when Christ will come to destroy the temple. Now, they also mention the end of the world. Now, when we look at Mark 13, they don't ever ask about the end of the world. They don't. In fact, in Matthew 24, they don't. They ask about the end of the age. But let's say you don't get that, okay? You're thinking the end of the cosmos, the end of planet Earth. If that's what they were asking, first of all, why would they ask that? Jesus said, look, I'm going to destroy the temple. Jerusalem will be destroyed. The temple will be destroyed. And they said, well, can you give us some signs? What will be the sign when you come to do all this? Oh, yeah. And when's the earth going to come to an end? What? They didn't ask that. When will the Jewish age come to an end? Because they equated the destruction of the temple with the end of the Jewish age. Well, of course they would. Now, let's see the question as it's posed in Mark 13. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now, that's the extent of their questioning. Now, Mark 13 is just like Matthew 24 in that they're looking at the temple, they're admiring the buildings, and then Jesus says not one stone is going to be left upon another in these buildings that make up the temple. It's a shocker. And so the disciples ask in Mark 13, when shall these things be? What are these things that the disciples are asking about in Mark 13? Well, when the temple's going to be destroyed, right? That's these things. That's the subject matter. By the way, Jesus never talked about the end of the world. He just talked about the destruction of the temple. And that's what they're asking him about. They're asking him about the destruction of the temple. He says, I'm going to destroy the temple. And so they ask him in Mark 13, when shall these things be? When the temple is destroyed, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? What are these things in verse 4? It's the same these things that make up the beginning of verse 4. The destruction of the temple. In the account in Mark, the disciples never ask about the end of the world. All they ask about is, when will the temple be destroyed? Now, I want you to think about that. How could Mark leave out that important question? How could Mark leave it out? Does that make any sense? He did leave it out. I mean, if the modern dispensationalist is right and they ask three questions, okay, Lord, well, when will these things happen when the temple is destroyed? And secondly, do you have any signs about the second coming thousands of years in the future? And thirdly, when will the end of the world transpire? Now, those are huge questions. And are we to believe that in Mark 13, Mark records the question about the destruction of the temple, but fails to bring up the question about the termination of the universe and of planet Earth? Particularly when these dispensationalists interpret Matthew 24 as mainly about his coming to destroy the whole earth. They leave the question out in Mark? The only thing Mark asked about is the destruction of the temple. Now that's Mark 13. That's Mark 13. And we also learn in Mark 13 that he wasn't speaking to all his disciples. He was speaking to four of them, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. So this is a very small clique of individuals. Jesus is speaking privately with four disciples. Okay. Let's compare the question with the account given to us in Luke. All right? So we go to Luke 21, and Luke 21 is the parallel account to Matthew 24, the parallel account to Mark 13. And let's see how the question is worded there. Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down." Okay, let me interrupt. Obviously, this is the parallel account to Matthew 24, verses 1 to 3. Obviously, this is the parallel account to Mark 13, verses 1 to 4. Okay? All right, let's read it again. Verse 5. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down." Now, their question, in light of that shocking revelation of the destruction of the temple, again, which is the only thing Jesus spoke about. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus never talked about the end of the world. The only thing he brought up was the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. So now he just finished telling them the temple's going to be destroyed. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. Let's hear the question they ask in Luke 21, verse 7. "And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name." Okay, that's it. So in Luke 21, they ask a singular question. Just like in Mark 13, they asked a singular question. And what is that question? Let's read it again. "They asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be?" Now, what would the "these things" be referring to? The only thing recorded in Luke 21, the only subject Jesus brought up was the destruction of the temple. So they're asking about, when will the temple be destroyed? When is this going to happen, when one stone will not be left upon another of the temple? They ask, "When shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Again, the same question. What sign will there be when these things, what are these things that they're asking about? The only thing recorded in Luke 21 is the destruction of the temple. It's the only thing Jesus brought up. It's the only thing they asked him about. Now, that's what you see in Luke 21, and that is exactly what you see in Mark 13, the parallel text. And that is exactly what you are seeing in Matthew 24. You're just reading it incorrectly. You've got to compare the scripture with the scripture. Let's read it again from Matthew 24. Well, I don't need to read the beginning. He shows them the temple. He says not one stone's going to be left on another. Now they're curious. They ask their question. Verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately." And we know that there was only four of them. "Privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" What are these things he's talking about? Well, Jesus only brought up one subject, the destruction of the temple. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Now, when you compare that to the other gospel accounts, it's pretty plain. The only thing they asked him about was the destruction of the temple. Well, they associated, and they knew what Jesus meant. Jesus would come and destroy the temple. They associated the coming of Jesus with the destruction of the old covenant system. When Jesus institutes his messianic kingdom, it is the end of the old order in the beginning of Messiah's order. It is the end of the Jewish age. The temple will be destroyed. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the age?" That Greek word for world is aion, not cosmos. It means age. The context of the passage tells us it's the Jewish age, which requires a temple and priesthood. So Matthew 24 is a little more illustrative But it's no different than Mark 13 or Luke 21. They're asking Jesus about when he's going to come and destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and usher in his kingdom. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? You just can't get around it. Now, that being the case, let's press a little bit further. Verse 4, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Well, let me stop there. I stopped in the middle of verse 9. There's a whole reservoir of truth we can extract out of what we've just read. That's profound and earth-shaking for most people listening to me. Let's take a look at it. So when are you going to come, Lord, and destroy the old order and put an end to the present age and leave not one stone upon another of the temple and establish your kingdom? When are you going to do this? Jesus answered them and said, verse 4, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Now, most prophecy teachers say, see, these are the beginning of the signs of the coming of Christ in his second coming. There's going to be an increase of wars. And Hal Lindsey writes his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and he tells us that there's been an increased number of wars in recent years, and there's more and more wars on the face of the earth. Of course, we didn't have, years ago, the communications we have now. We can just count more wars. I'm not so sure there's more wars now than there were 1,000 years ago. Everybody was fighting everybody 1,000 years ago. But we didn't have computers. We didn't have televisions. We didn't have radio. We didn't have satellite. But that's not even the point. This passage isn't saying there's going to be more wars and more wars and more wars. These are the signs of his coming. Actually, that's not even true. I'll get to that, but let's see something even more basic here. If these are signs of his coming, let us not forget the context of this discourse. Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed, not one stone left on another. This is shocking. The very idea implies the termination of the whole Jewish order as it existed under the Old Covenant. So they ask, when is this going to happen? And then, what signs will there be of your coming to do this, you see, and put an end to the Jewish age? And what does Jesus say? He says, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. Who's you? Who's you? Now, we kind of read it as if, well, he's talking to Christians. No, that's not true. This is recorded for the benefit of Christians in future years. But he's not talking to Christians in future years. The conversation has been recorded and given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we would know the nature of the discourse, observe it, and learn from it. But you cannot remove the conversation from its historical, biblical context. Jesus is speaking privately to four of his disciples who just asked him a question about when he would come and destroy the temple and terminate the Jewish age. he responds to these disciples who ask that question. They ask, what will be the sign of your coming to do this? And Jesus said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Who's the you that Jesus speaks of? Well, it must be the four disciples to whom he is speaking. This you can't pretend otherwise. Now, this is hugely important. Follow along. Next sentence, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Which many people, they interpret these things as being in the future, before the second coming of Christ. Many false Christs are coming in the future. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in their generation. He says in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Ye. Who's that? See that ye be not troubled. That would be the disciples to whom he is speaking. They're the ones who ask for a sign. They want to know what would be the sign of thy coming. To do these things that you're describing, to destroy the temple. When will you do this? Are there any signs? And Jesus said to them, he was speaking to them, he was looking at their faces, and he said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. They would see the wars and rumors of wars. They are the ones that aren't to be troubled by these things. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Who's the you of verse 9? It hath to be the disciples. And he was speaking privately to the disciples. And we know that he's speaking to only four of the disciples. You cannot remove this from its historical context. I know that this is inspired and it's for our benefit, but just because the scripture is written for our benefit doesn't mean that we change the context of the conversation. You can have, for instance, you can have Moses talking to Aaron, right? And we are to observe what Moses says to Aaron. Understand it's Moses, understanding he's saying it to Aaron. Understand why he's saying it to Aaron and what the historical context of his comments are. And then we observe that and we learn lessons for ourselves from it. But we don't put ourselves in Aaron's shoes and say, he was speaking to us. No, he wasn't speaking to us. He was speaking to Aaron. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They wanted some signs of his coming to destroy the temple. Are there any signs? And Jesus begins to talk about signs. And along the way, he says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. How do you think they understood that? Oh, I know what he means. He means Christians 2,000 years from now. We're going to die safely of old age in our beds. Jesus just finished saying to them, they said, Lord, we want a sign. Can you give us a sign? Yeah, they're going to take you into synagogues and they're going to kill you. How do you think they would understand those words? Jesus was telling them, they will die. They will, those men. He's talking to them. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you and shall be hated, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, if this is to his disciples, then all this has to happen in the first century during the lifetime of the disciples. Yes. Yes, and it's very easy to prove everything Jesus said here happened in the first century between the Olivet Discourse and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They did deliver up the disciples and kill them. False prophets did come along and deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That all happened in that time frame between the Olivet Discourse and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus is answering their question. We must pay attention to the context of Scripture and not extract it from its setting. We are to learn from it. Well, that's what I'm trying to help us do, learn from it. You say, now wait a minute, Pastor. Hold on. You've gone up to verse 13, but verse 14's got you stumped. You're saying this all happened in the lifetime of the disciples. And surely, well, it does seem that way, but what about verse 14? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Surely that didn't happen in the first century. Well, I fully understand why you're saying that. But I there's no malice. I mean no insult by this. However, you're wrong. That did happen in the first century. The gospel of the kingdom was preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, so that the end of the Jewish age would indeed come in that generation during the lifetime of the disciples to whom he is speaking. You say, Pastor, now you're that's incredible. In fact, that's so shockingly stupid. I mean, at the face of it, we know that's not true. The gospel didn't get out to all the world then. There's still places in the world now that you might be able to go, and certain people have never heard of Jesus. Oh, I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is you're reading the Bible based on preconceived notions of prior teaching. What you need to do is read the Bible in light of the Bible and let the Scripture interpret the Scripture and yield to the authority of the Word of God, because the Bible teaches that the gospel was preached to all the nations in the first century. I don't have time to prove it today, but there's your cliffhanger. Tune in next week, and I'll explain how that's so, not by fanciful allegory, but by the authority of the Word of God. But for today, my time's up. I do have to go. Let me thank you for listening. Jim Gallagher reminding you in the words of our blessed Lord and Savior, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.